Okay, so let's try to get through these sources. So as I said, last time we dealt with the question of whether, what kosher concerns can come out with genetically modified foods. But the question really you have to ask before that is it halachically or maybe hashkafically problematic to create these foods in the first place? And again, genetically modified foods can include a variety of different things, and it can include inserting genes from animals into plants, changing the plant genomes or the animal genomes to propagate certain traits. So the possible prohibition that could be in place is chelaim. Now, normally when we think of chelaim, the one we non-farmers are most affiliated with is chelai begadim, what we know as sha'anez, right? But another one is planting different species together. So if you look at number two, the Torah tells you, chukotai tishmoru behemtechalo tarbiya chelaim, sadchalo tizra chelaim uvega chelaim sha'anez lo yale alecha. You can't crossbreed animals to create chelaim, you can't crossbreed species to create chelaim, and you can't wear chelaim. So, can and then we'll start. Mashem?
Yudit?
Yudit? Is Yudit here? Yes, Yudit. Is there a Yudit amongst the students or just Yudit? Yudit, Yudit.
Okay. He'll go off, I'm going to.
Someone give this to whoever when it's done.
It's not a rush on what it looks like. Baked goods. What? It's baked goods. I'm assuming in honor of Rosh Chodesh, but I don't know. It's Rosh Chodesh tonight. I'm just guessing that's what it's for. I don't know. I don't actually know, but I don't know if I'm supposed to hear it. They brought something from the bakery here. I put it over here.
I now want to see. Because I can hear you the whole cake. Or cake. I don't know what
to do. Okay.
No, is it
a dar?
Yeah.
It is a
dar.
It says what it is on there, but I won't say. That's fine. That's fine. Okay. Fine. So is it chelaim? So the classic Gemara is the following. The Gemara number 3 tells you that, or the Mishnah in the Gemara, Shishat Dvarim Asu Anshei Yericho. There were 6 practices the people of Yericho did. Al Shlosha Michu Biadam, Al Shlosha Lo Michu Biadam. There were 3 that the rabbis were okay with, 3 that they were not okay with, and they protested. Ve'ilu Ein Shlo Michu Biadam. It's a protest. Protest, yes. 3 that they protested and 3 that they did not. Oh, I did not translation. Okay, that's fine. Fine. So the elu shalom yichub yadam. The first thing that they did not protest is markivin dekalim kolayim, is that they would graft all day from these palm trees. So the Gemara says markivin dekalim kolayim. Hechi avdi, what are you talking about? When is it not a problem to graft? What was the case? So Amr of Yehuda might be asa dora v'shichra de'dafna v'kimcha de'sarei de'rama b'mana. So as the English tells you here, because this is not words I expect anybody to know, right, is they brought fresh myrtle, strong beer made from the fruit of the laurel tree, and barley flour that cast into a vessel, and 40 days had not passed since it was ground. They boiled them together and poured the mixture into the core of the palm tree. We called the kai ba'arba amotidei lo avdi le'achi tzavar la'altar. And if they hadn't done it, and they would pour it around the trees within arba amot, if they hadn't done it, the other trees would wither because it would have given such a kick to the tree that it would have overpowered the trees next to it. Rav Acha b'reid Rav Amram chikuk for dechor l'nekuvta. Or they placed a branch of a male palm tree on the female so that it would yield fruit. Now, why is this irrelevant? Because at first glance, right, the classic case of chelaim, of planting, is where you plant them all together in the same field, or you graft them together. And yet here, there seems to be some sort of early, not exactly genetic modification, but they are putting other species directly into the sap of the tree, and the Gemara says that's not a problem. Right? So does this indicate that whatever the problem of chelium is, it is limited to actually planting things together rather than inserting genetic material from one plant into another, in which case, presumably, creating a GMO in that way would be fine. Because in general, right, what you're not allowed to do is aim as being ilan b'ilan, and the Mishnah tells you in 4, can't bring a tree to a tree, yarek b'yarek, well, ilan b'yarek, well, yarek b'ilan, or b'yuda matir, yarek b'ilan. The one case of Yehuda allows this mixing is a tree, is a vegetable in a tree. And the Tosfos Yom Tov, their comments, behind the Shuzuva read the Dafka Kishal Yidei Harkava, Hein mit achin v'nasleidin pri o yerek mishuneh, bahu asra Torah mishum kilay. He says the only time, Yehuda thinks the only time it's problematic is when a new fruit is created. There's only two different trees or two different vegetables. But when they merely get some substance from each other, but doesn't create a new species, so that is going to be fine. So again, you have to ask, presumably when we're doing it, you're not really creating a new species that way, right? You're creating the changing the properties maybe in the vegetable, but it doesn't seem to be creating a new one in the quite the same way. I mean, maybe it could be. But these are the sources that are in the background of the question. So if you look at Rav Bakshi Daron number 6, he was asked, "Haim yesh isur b'handazah genetit mishum kilayim? Is genetically engineering a vegetable, a fruit, is that asur because of the kilayim?" She says, "Hashela harishana ha'olah me'elah. Emein yisur, b'yisur gidulim merkavim miminim shonim b'handasa ginedet mishum yisur kilayim." The first question you have to ask, is it prohibited to create these joint fruits or vegetables because of kilayim? Sharei Torah asur la'artiv lezrat machim miminim shonim hayotrim zan me'arav min mishen omino. You're not allowed to mix two things, create a new species. So he said the first thing you have to note, and this seems to be what emerges from the sugya in Psachim, he argues that kilayim is only the act, not the result. Meaning, the simple fact that you are melding two things together is not the problem. It's the act of grafting or the act of planting them together, thereby creating a new species. That is the problem of kilayim. But simply managing to create that result, he thinks, is not the problem. And therefore, the case is only where I actually take a tree and attach it to a tree, or a vegetable to a vegetable. But in order to create, to genetically modify, you either use for him it's a chaydak. I don't know if it's really a chaydak, right? A virus, a bacteria, it's not really what you do, but okay, right? Or you just manipulate it in a petri dish or whatever the case may be, right? You manipulate the genes. And the gene is not itself a plant. It is not seen. It doesn't have independent standing. And there is no problem of just helping something grow by inserting chemicals. Even if you get it from other trees. Right. So the way Rav Bakshi Daron takes these sugyas is what you learn from the Gemara in Psachim, that it's not simply the result of having created a new species. There has to be an act of crossbreeding. And crossbreeding in halacha requires actually taking two plants, growing them together, but merely introducing new genetic material he thinks did not fall under the prohibition because it has the result without the action, and for him the action is what makes it problematic. Okay? Yeah. Engineering. Yeah, Mehandes is an engineer. Handasa is engineering. So Handasa Genetis is genetic engineering. Good word to know in modern Hebrew.
Yeah. Yeah. Also taking
from it's not the act of creation, it's the act of cross planting, and that's why he thinks this is not a problem.
Right.
Right? Rabashi Daron says it's not a problem. It's not result oriented, it's action oriented. So the specific action of planting them together. Okay? Right? Now. Okay, yeah. We'll clarify that now, yes.
Yeah, so I was wondering how that would play, how that would change.
Okay, good. So hold that for a second. So that's how Rabashi Daron takes it. However, that's not the only way of taking it. Now, before we look at the Chazon Ish, look at Rav Shlomo Zalman, look at 8. Rav Shlomo Zalman also thinks it's not a problem. Why not? Because he says as follows. He says, "Be'enyan she'ilatein, ilu she'ilato b'davar ha'zasa genetit, she'machnitin chalkikei te'im mirbi'ah achad l'shniyah." That you take cells from one to another. "U'vazem b'shanim et chunoteh shal l'shniyah," thereby changing the nature of the second species. "V'yidezeh," and therefore you want to essentially permit kilayim because these cells are not seen by the human eye. Since people move these cells, these molecules from one to the other, he says, first of all, I think they are visible, because it's not like it's happening by itself, right? The person, the scientist who's there, he's seeing it, he's actively doing it. So don't just tell me that it's, you can't just get away by it by saying it's invisible. That doesn't work, because you're actually relating it to it as visible, right? You're looking under a microscope in order to actively be involved in it. So invisibility is not going to help you. He said, maybe by bugs. Right? He says, we know you can't have vegetables with bugs, but you can't have vegetables with bacteria on them. You shouldn't, maybe, but, you know, different story. But halachically, it's fine. And obviously we do, right? Everything has some sort of something on it. He said, that's because you're not relating directly to these things. But when you're actively relating to them, so you can't just get away by saying it's invisible. Omnam. Belal chayim. Nir lefei anavi de'ein betem asiya shumi sur shal arva'a. Splits the difference. He says, you know what? I think that when it comes to plants, it actually is forbidden. You know why I think it's forbidden? Because you can see it, you're actively doing it, and he distinguishes. He says, by animals, right, Rabashi Daron says, by kilayim, the iser is creating it through crossbreeding or cross-planting or whatever, but not creating the result, and therefore genetic engineering is totally mutter. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no. He says, I agree with Rabashi Daron when it comes to animals. By animals, it's only usher if you crossbreed them. But by plants, he says, it's about results. Did I have two species growing together? And therefore, he thinks that it would be forbidden. Now, and this is where, in Akiva Wolf's article, he suggests, they put in 9, that maybe even Rav Shlomo Zalman would only hold his usher the first time around, meaning when you're taking the actual genetic material from one plant and putting it in another. But if you took the genetic material and then you processed it in a lab and then duplicated it, right? That, he thinks, would not be a problem, even according to Rishon LeZalman, because then what you inserted, the genes that you inserted, are not the original genes from the first plant. They're just the genetic duplicates. So from a scientific view, they're the same thing. But from a halachic view, it's no longer the first vegetable going into the second vegetable, right? It's just an egg material. So the original material, he thinks, according to Rishon LeZalman, would be forbidden only in plants, but not in animals. But he thinks the genetically recreated, right, the duplicates, so then he thinks would be mutter, even according to Rishon LeZalman, even in plants. So let's now go back to the Chazon Ish, number 7. Now, where would you get this idea? So this, you could read this as the Tosfos Yom Tov, right? Because the Tosfos Yom Tov does seem to focus on the result, right? That the produce is now a different plant. So if you read that as really telling you that, at least by plants, it's result-oriented rather than process-oriented, so then you could come to the conclusion of Rishon LeZalman. So what does the Chazon Ish say in 7? Chazon Ish says as follows, Hinei lomadnu shalosh chalukot. There are 3 divisions. Im markiv davar shein someach elashi nivla b'ilan. Now, how then, according to Rishon LeZalman, would you deal with the Gemara in Pesachim, which does seem to allow you to inject this, you know, genetic material into the plant, right? That seems to be what's going on in Pesachim. How do you deal with that? So here, Chazon Ish has multiple layers, which might help us. He says, Hinei lamadnu shalosh chalukot. There are 3 categories. Im markiv davar shein someach elashi nivla b'ilan umeitiv smichal elin mutar. If it's just going to be something that's not itself that in itself can't grow, but it strengthens the plants, so then it's permitted. Because then you're not changing the identity, you're giving it, you're adding like fertilizer, essentially. Bahainu hadamar psachim ninvav, he says, psachim ninvav is not creating a new species. What is it doing? It's like giving something plant food. Right? Whatever that mixture of beer and whatever they put in was, that was not changing the identity of the plant. Right? That was just giving it, right, plant food. So that's fine. He said, everyone agrees, that's fine. V'hainu damar v'psachim davnin vav amar alef denotlin b'lev adekel asa dar v'shechor d'dafna v'kimcha d'sar v'lo asrin v'shomenin b'ilon v'yarek v'ino. He said, it doesn't give you a new plant. It just strengthens it. That's category 1. The yesh me'arkiv shemetachin molidin, that's what it is. Molidin min chadash. V'yesh me'arkiv ma'peri eina mishtaneh. V'shnei ha'kabayel esurin. But he said there are 2 other things. And that's where you create a new min, a new species, or even where the genetic material does combine, even if it doesn't necessarily change. He says that's usher. So you have the Chazon Ish, like Rishon LeZalman, says, look, the Gemara in Pesachim, I'll read it away. That's not talking about genetic engineering. That's talking about giving something essentially fertilizer. That's obviously mutter. But if you're actually joining genetic material, whether or not it creates a new species, that he thinks is already usher. And he says, I don't think there's a difference between combining 2 species, the bodies of them by grafting, or combining them through the sap, or wherever you do it. Shim notel sraf notovisdak, uchozer baosanaf, because if I were to put sap in a crack in the tree, and that would create a new branch. That would be grafting, essentially. She'ein be'edimot something be'na'av, the kimjish misraf koch aladach, since it has the possibility to create new things, to give birth, as it were, it's called grafting. V'lo domi l'arva'a shein is sort of an intina zera shel min zel min acher. The other mafa eifer, the eifer, talush ein bo mishum arva'a shein vado ela b'chai. But like Rosh Hashanah Zalman, he says this is only true by plants. Because by animals, even inseminating an animal wouldn't violate kilayim. It would only be if you actually crossbred them. So like Rosh Hashanah Zalman, so what you have so far is, basically we have the question, how do you imagine the iser of Kilai Behema and Kilai Zraim? Is it about the result of having joined together two species and created something new, or is it about the act of crossbreeding or cross-planting and grafting? So, Rabashi Daron says, in everything, it's just the act. Proof, the Gemara in Pesachim, where they seem to have been putting other species into the heart of the tree. So therefore, he says it's all about the act. If it doesn't, and therefore, genetically engineering something is always going to be permitted, because you're not doing the act of grafting or crossbreeding. You're just creating the result, and that's fine. The Chazon Ish says, no. It's the result. But what result? So he says, if it's just strengthening the plants, it's like giving fertilizer. That's obviously permitted. But if you're creating a new species, or alternatively, you are simply joining the genetic material, so then he says, why is that different? Why is adding, joining the saps of two trees to create something new, different than the grafting? Now, based on this, and this is where I think, you know, Akiva Wolf picks up, and I think he might be right in both Rosh Hashanah Zalman and the Chazon Ish, is that since the Chazon Ish says it's about the result from having joined the saps together, it does seem to be that he thinks that it's not just having created a new species. It's creating a new species by joining the saps. And that's why it seems to be, as Akiva Wolf is medayek, that it's only the original, right? The original material from the plant. But once you've duplicated it, right, it doesn't seem to be that simply creating new species without the presence of actual material from the original plant is going to be problematic. And that's why maybe so the Isser of the Chazon Ish and the however, Shlomo Zalman is going to be limited to the original case and not when you're producing this genetic modification with duplicate genetic material. Okay. Let's assume that it is permitted, though. Is it hashkafically problematic? Okay, metahalakhically problematic. So this belongs to a host of sugya that basically are the playing God sugyas. Right? And there are a lot of modern halachic issues where the poskim weigh in on whether it's hashkafically problematic because you are playing God. Now, where do they get the notion that there's a problem of playing God? So they get it from Ramban's understanding of the Isser Kilayim in general. So why is it Usser in general to crossbreed an animal? So Rashi says, in number 10, Et chukotai tishmeru, ve'elon ben b'chalot arbiya kilayim, Chukim elu gzeirot melach ein tam l'davar. What does that mean? It's a decree. God said it. That's it. The Ramban says no in 11. Hatam b'kilayim ki Hashem bara ha'b'minim ba'olam b'chol ba'alei ha'nefashot b'smachim ba'alei nefesh ha'tnu'ah. God created species, animals, and plants. V'natan b'hem koch ha'olah ha'tolah sh'kaimu ha'minim b'hem. And he gave them the power to procreate so that their species would exist forever. La'ad, so man shi'ir sewit barach b'kiyum ha'alam, as long as God wants the world to exist. V'tziva b'kocham shi'utzivu m'nehem, and he gave them the power to produce their own species. V'lo yishtanu la'ad l'alam, and never change, sh'ne'emar b'chulam l'mineu, as it says by every species, it was created according to its own species. V'hu sibat ha'mishkav sh'narbi ha'beim otzum z'lekiyum ha'meinim kasher yavo ha'nashem ha'nashem b'b'b'b'b'yad. This is why people procreate. V'amarkiv sh'nei minim, and one who crossbreeds, mishaneh u'makrish maseh breshit. He challenges the notion of creation. Ki'il yachshov sh'lo hishlim ha'kadosh baruch hu ba'olamo kol ha'tzorech. As if God did not create the world as is perfect. As if you want to add to the world new creations, Chayim lo yidumim v'sheinu bino, right? Creatures can't normally create other species, etc. And after the ellipsis, umechavareinu mosid v'dam mechilayim ku shalol arbeva kachon magdalim atzimchim leonavim zemizeh minay asham rubreshet rabah amar rebi simon ein lechol chalayit v'ezev v'mamadze shen b'mazel berakil mako tov omar lo gadel. Maybe there's also some sort of metaphysical problem because things are being told to grow by their mazel, etc. But the Ramban introduces a notion which admittedly is only one of the possibilities in the Ramban, and you it's not clear how serious they get halachically, but his philosophical rationale for all these prohibitions of Kilayim is essentially don't play God. God creates certain species, and that's what he wants in the world. And therefore, there are many poskim in other sugyos, and a lot of these who say, look, even if something might not be halachically usur, it runs against the spirit of the law of playing God. Now, admittedly, that's problematic, because first of all, it's not clear how serious the Ramban would mean it in lahalacha. Two is the Ramban himself gives other philosophical reason for kilayim. And three, Rashi just says it's a gzirat katuf, a gzirat melech, and it's not based on the philosophy, right? It's not a problem of playing God. And there are other sources that imply that you should be able to. But nevertheless, this does become, for many poskim, the reason that they think you maybe shouldn't do this. It is if this argument is brought up in the cloning sugya. It's brought up in the question of choosing the sex of a child through through IVF and IUI and all the different ways of artificial reproductive technology. A lot of poskim have this meta halachic conviction that you shouldn't be allowed to play God. Okay. So there is that possibility, even if it doesn't fall into the technical halachic one, maybe you would say that it is problematic hashkafically. Okay, let's say you do think it's halachically problematic. Is it problematic only for Jews or even for non-Jews? So what do you think? First glance, you would say it's only problem for Jews because it's not in the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, right? Which are, right, Ivar Menachai, Birkat Hashem, Gezel, Dinem, Hereg, Avos Zaras, Nut, etc. Kilayim is not one of them. However, if you look at number 12, there is one position in the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Aval Kilayim. Rabbi Elazar says that one of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, that, not Sheva, there's more than seven according to Rabbi Elazar. They're also prohibited in Kilayim, not in wearing it. Mutarin B'nai Noach Lobos Kilayim, one second. They're allowed to wear Shatnez, Lezroa Kilayim, and to plant them, V'ein Asher El Barbat Behemav Agavad Ilan. But grafting trees and crossbreeding animals, Rabbi Elazar says, even non-Jews are forbidden from. Yeah.
So this isn't one of the seven, but if it is, like,
correct. According to Rabbi Elazar, there's eight.
So are there others?
Yes, there are others in the Gemara. The Gemara there has the seven, and then as Rabbi Elazar adds another one, and someone else adds magic, right? There's a few others that possibly get introduced there, and one of them is Kilayim. Now, do we paskin like Rabbi Elazar? So this is an interesting question. So if you look at 14, the Rambam very clearly paskins, we don't. Al shisha dvarim nitzava Adam arishon. Six commandments were given to Adam. Al avodah zarah, al birkat Hashem, al shfichut damim, al gilui arayot, al hagezel, al hadinim, avo bishekulon en kabbalah biyavinu mimoshe rabbeinu, vadeat noteh lahen. Michal dvar Torah, dvei Torah, yiresh al elu nitzavu, hosef lenoach, evra menachai, shenamach, basar, benafsho, gam al lotef elu, nimsa sheva mitzvot. Right, the Rambam says six to Adam, one to Noah, total seven, end of story. Yeah.
How can I expect them to do a poke?
Meaning, according to the Rambam, it's not a problem. Non-Jews have to keep Shem Mitzvah and Noah, not because they feel that it's right, but because they know Moshe commanded it. Right? So if you have that type of idea, so then Moshe, whatever Moshe commanded them. Yeah, but according to the Rambam, it's not about coming to it logically. You have to, they have to believe in Torah Mitzinai and then accept it from there. So according to the Rambam, it's not a problem. If you don't believe that, if you think it's more natural law, so then you're right. You'll have a problem, and maybe that's part of the machloket there. Maybe, though, it's unclear whether the Shema Mitzvot logically fit a category of natural law. right? Christine Hayes has a long discussion of this in her book on what's divine about divine law. And one of the things she highlights is the fact there are machlokot about it, right? If it's if you identify the Shem Mitzvah with natural law, there shouldn't be machlokot about it because it should be the things that are self-obvious, or self-evident. And yes, putting a chok in there would throw a wrench in the theory that Shem Mitzvah is just another way of saying natural law. The seven are not quite, the seven, I mean, they look for the source, but they're basically agreed upon. The others are challenged, right? Kilayim and magic and maybe tztaka, right? They all appear in those sugyot there. So the Rambam in Perek Tetevil Malachim Paskin, we, only seven, which you would assume that means non-Jews are not forbidden in it. However, the Rambam in Malachim Yud Vav seems to Paskin that it is usher. So you look at 13, he says, Mipia Kabbalah, Shibnei Noach, Asurin Barabat Behemah, Rakat Elan Bilvat, Ve'Nerig and Alayim. The Kabbalah is that they are forbidden. It's not one of the seven that gets the death penalty, or for which they're Chayav Mitah, but it is forbidden for them to crossbreed animals or fruit. So there is a little bit of a tension, right? Is it just a contradiction in the Rambam? Or does the Rambam say there are seven that have the death penalty and some others that don't have the death penalty? But they're obligated in any ways. Shulchan Aruch does seem to say that it's forbidden. If you look at 15, Shulchan Aruch seems to be machmer asur lizra kilayim lo meiko chavit. But the Shach writes, not so fast. Shulchan Aruch might not actually prohibit it for non-Jews. Maybe the Shulchan Aruch only thinks that a Jew can't tell a non-Jew to do it. He says, "Bebet Yosef, v'ter zahavu v'bach, katvu atam yishum amira lo v'kochavim shvut." It's usher because you aren't allowed to tell a non-Jew to do something usher, just like on Shabbat. Kamoshi yit ba'er. And therefore, all that you would derive from it is that if you think it's usher, it would be usher for you to tell a non-Jew to do it, but not for the non-Jew to do it of his own accord. However, he notes, "Aval bedrisha katav." But the drisha says, "Vani omer shatam yishum zmeach mitzvah nala kavanei lan barbat peima." The chen katav a Rambam, but the drisha paskins like the other Rambam in Perek Yod, and says, "No, it's usher even for non-Jews to do it themselves." The chen katav a Rambam behed yod beperek vav milchot melachim, and the Shach himself says, "Lo amin shiatu dvarim elu mipiv." I can't believe he ever said such a thing. The kaimel and the shem mitzvah nistavu bnei Noach. We think there are only seven. It's too low, no more. The emet chenu dat Rabbi Lazar. It's true that Rabbi Lazar paskins that. Then stavu gam arvat beima arvat ilan aval anan kaimelam kerabanan kamash kodem Rambam behedya. That should be perektet elchot melachim. Ein sham lo remez or imizan but other over there Rambam perektet elchot melachim uvor lehevil and stavu b'shevem mitzvot etc. V'hu pashut. Right. So in the end of the day, if you think it's usher, is it usher even for non-Jews or only for Jews? So again. Even for Jews, Rabbi Daron says it's mutter to create. Because the only problem is where you actually are grasping rather than just creating the result. Shlomo Zalman and the Chazon Ish say it is usher, but maybe, as Akiva Wolf points out, only the original material, but not the duplicates. If you think it's usher, is usher for Jews or non-Jews? So, if you think the only Shema Mitzvah Noach, it's only for Jews. If you think that we possibly, like Rabbi Lazar, that even non-Jews can't do Harvat, Ilana Behema, it would be also even for non-Jews. The Rambam, there seems to be a little bit of a tension. How do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch says it's usher, but the majority of Achronim, like the Shach knows, assume that non-Jews are permitted. They just can't have a Jew tell them, please create this for me, then that's usher. The Drisha, the paskins, like the simple understanding, the Rambam, very good, and says if it is prohibited even for non-Jews, and therefore if you think that creating genetically modified foods in this way is prohibited, and according to the Drisha, it would be usher not only for Jews, but for non-Jews as well. Okay? So that's the basic issue. And then, again, as we said, in addition to the halachic issues, there is the meta-halachic issue of maybe it is the more in the spirit of the law of playing God, which, as I said, that's unclear, because Rashi thinks it's only a chok, even the Ramban has different reasons for the mitzvah, and again, it's only the Tama mitzvah, it's only the philosophy, it's unclear what implications that should have in law, but that is something that's brought up by many poskim in these similar categories. That is another factor to take into account. Okay?